KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:01, it's partly cloudy to cloudy and 57 degrees in Atlantic. We look for similar conditions today, behind near 70. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. The Cass County Sheriff's Office is reminding the public to be aware that telephone scams are still alive and well in the county. Most recently reported to officials is the old scam whereby people are called by someone who claims to be that person's grandchild or other relative and asking for cash to be wired to them so they can get out of jail. If you've received that type of a call, be sure to satisfy yourself as to the true identity of the caller and never wire money without verifying the whereabouts of your actual relative. And never give out personal or banking information over the phone. News time is 8:02.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
What'd I say then?
Just
what I thought. I think you need to get your hearing checked.
I hear just fine. Besides, Dave has hearing aids, and he hardly uses them. Says he spends a fortune on batteries.
Well, Dad's had hearing aids for 20 years now, and I heard him tell Mom he just bought a 6-month supply and only spent around $60. I think there must be something going on with Dave's hearing aids. Maybe you should both go see Doug Leonard.
Having to spend a fortune on batteries is a common misconception people have about hearing aids. In fact, on average, batteries for both hearing aids should only cost about $10 a month. This is audiologist Doug Leonard at ASI. If the cost of batteries is what's keeping you from looking into having your hearing improved, I'd like to talk to you. I can clear up your misconceptions and alleviate your concerns. Battery expense shouldn't be a reason to avoid improving your quality of life with better hearing. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
The owner of a bed and breakfast in Atlantic, who is in violation of the city's minimum maintenance code, has been given a little more time to complete the exterior portion of his project. City Code Enforcement Officer John Lund told KJAN the decision was reached during a meeting Thursday morning with SF Martin House owner Roger Steffens.
We have another 30 days to complete a lot of the work that's required on that property, and we're going to stick to that.
After that, Steffens faces fines amounting to $250 per month. Lund said the city understands the scope of the project, but at the same time, Steffens has been as much, or has it had as much, if not more time, than other residents to get their properties into shape when given a compliance notice.
I think November 1st will be the final deadline. We tried to make it as clear as possible. It's the minimum maintenance code for a reason. It's not the historical Victorian standards maintenance code. He just needs to get the front entryway taken care of, some siding on that house, and it needs to be painted. And that's all that we're asking, and I didn't think 6 months was an unreasonable amount of time for him to get that completed to begin with.
Prior to his meeting with Lund, Steffen has had faced an October 1st deadline to complete repairs on the exterior of his business, which is on the National Register of Historic Places. The building has been what several people has been described as an eyesore in Atlantic, especially on the east side. Work on the exterior of the house has been underway for at least 15 years, while the inside is said to be pristine. The Cass County Sheriff's Office reports two men were arrested on OWI charges Wednesday. 34-year-old Christopher Anthony Maurice of Underwood was taken into custody on charges of OWI first offense, driving while barred, and driving under suspension. Maurice was brought to the Cass County Jail and later released on a $2,000 bond. And 52-year-old Mark David Carroll of Griswold was arrested Wednesday on a charge of OWI second offense. Carroll was taken to the Cass County Jail, where he was being held pending a court appearance. Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer reports his deputies were called Thursday to investigate the circumstances surrounding the death of a man who was found in a vehicle. Deputies responded to 1851 A Avenue at approximately 7:30 a.m. Following an investigation which involved the Page County Medical Examiner and the Page County Sheriff's Office, it was determined that 59-year-old George Henry Meyer of Ottumwa had died from natural causes in a semi-tractor waiting in line to get to the business of Hallett Materials. The semi was parked on A Avenue facing north, just south of the entrance to that business. Authorities in Union County say the Afton Police Department received a report Wednesday afternoon from two 10-year-old girls who claimed they were confronted by a 50- to 60-year-old white male. The incident took place on the East Grand Street, just west of the East Union School campus, and near the city of Afton, REC Fields. Several East Union after-school daycare staff members observed the confrontation and helped to get the girls to safety on the school campus. Authorities say the person of interest in connection with the incident had brown eyes and some brown hair, but mostly bald on top. He was driving a green Jeep or Chevy Blazer 4x4 vehicle with a spare tire on the back. Anyone with information on the incident is asked to contact the Afton Police Chief, John Coulter, at 641-347-5255 or local law enforcement. The Upton Police Department is following up on other leads. Well, the economy in rural parts of 10 Midwestern and Western states continued to look weak in September as the drought weighed down on agricultural businesses. A new survey of bankers in the region released Thursday showed that the overall economic index remained in negative territory at 48.3 in September. That was slightly better than August's 47.1 and July's 47.9, but any score below 50 on the 0 to 100 index suggests the economy will contract in the months ahead. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss said the drought is already hurting businesses linked to agriculture like ethanol and farm equipment dealers. The survey covers the rural areas of Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. The confidence index was also weak at 43 in September, up from August's 39.6. The U.S. Department of Agriculture plans to hold regional meetings with local officials to learn more about impacts from this year's drought and to discuss how to leverage existing resources to speed recovery efforts. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack Thursday said the four regional meetings will be held in Nebraska, Ohio, Colorado, and Arkansas to address existing and emerging drought recovery issues. Details will be announced later, but the first meeting is already scheduled for October 9th in Omaha, Nebraska. Vilsack is the former Iowa governor. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows about one-fifth of the contiguous U.S. remains in extreme or exceptional drought, representing the report's two worst categories of dry conditions. Well, Governor Terry Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds are calling on Cass County residents and all Iowans to join in a one-kilometer healthiest state walk on Wednesday, October 3rd, as part of an effort to become the healthiest state in the nation. Well, the 291,000 Iowans from each of Iowa's 99 counties participated in the Healthiest State Initiative's Start Somewhere walk in 2011. This year, many organized Healthiest State walks will be held at noon on October the 3rd, but walks are encouraged throughout the day. A kilometer is about 7.5 city blocks, a 12-minute stroll for the average walker. Walkers can sign up for the event and find or create local organized walks at www.iowahealthieststate.com. In addition to walking, Branstad and Reynolds are encouraging Iowans to add one more wellness activity to their day on October 3rd. The governor and lieutenant governor last year announced the plan to make Iowa the healthiest state in the nation within 5 years, as measured by the Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index. In 2011, Iowa ranked 16th compared to all other states, moving up from the 19th position in 2010. The Healthiest State Initiative is a privately led public effort that engages Iowans and their communities throughout the state. It involves individuals, families, businesses, faith-based organizations, not-for-profits, and the public sector in a broad-based, community-focused effort. And officials of the Iowa Department of Transportation said Thursday that work location has changed, but the schedule will remain the same. With regard to the Interstate 480 work that's scheduled for next week in Council Bluffs, the DOT will be closing the eastbound I-480 to northbound Interstate 29 bridge in Council Bluffs Wednesday and Thursday, September 26th and 27th, to make repairs. Northbound I-29 traffic will be routed around the construction zone by traveling south on I-29, exiting at 9th Avenue, and traveling north on I-29. Motorists will want to allow some extra time in the morning hours those 2 days to travel on the detour. The roadway should be reopened to traffic by next Friday, September 28th, weather permitting. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour here on KJAN, an advisor to President Obama is defending Obama's comment yesterday that, quote, you can't change Washington from the inside. David Axelrod tells NBC that Obama was saying that in order to move Washington, you need to enlist the American people. Mitt Romney is seizing on Obama's comment, telling supporters that he will change Washington and get the job done from the inside. A year and a half since an anti-government uprising began, Syrian President Bashar Assad said he's not going anywhere. Assad said in published remarks today that his regime will not fall. Assad also is lashing out at Gulf countries, accusing them of using their enormous wealth to drive him from power. Syria's brutal crackdown on anti-government demonstrators and the eventual civil war have killed more than 23,000 people. Police in Georgia are guarding the home of a couple accused of child cruelty after authorities found their 18-year-old son at a Los Angeles bus station, emaciated and weighing just 87 pounds. LA police say the teen told him his stepfather gave him $200 and a list of homeless shelters before he was put on a bus to California on his birthday. The mother and stepfather face charges of false imprisonment and cruelty to children. And after decades without a professional sports team, Brooklyn, New York will open to the public today the new home of the Brooklyn Nets, formerly the New Jersey Nets. The Barclays Center is a state-of-the-art 18,000-seat arena. It'll be officially christened tomorrow night with a concert. KJAN News Time is 8:11.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
What'd I say then?
Just
what I thought. I think you need to get your hearing checked.
I hear just fine. Besides, Dave has hearing aids, and he hardly uses them. Says he spends a fortune on batteries.
Well, Dad's had hearing aids for 20 years now, and I heard him tell Mom he just bought a six-month supply and only spent around $60. I think there must be something going on with Dave's hearing aids. Maybe you should both go see Doug Leonard.
Having to spend a fortune on batteries is a common misconception people have about hearing aids. In fact, on average, batteries for both hearing aids should only cost about $10 a month. This is audiologist Doug Leonard at ASI. If the cost of batteries is what's keeping you from looking into having your hearing improved, I'd like to talk to you. I can clear up your misconceptions and alleviate your concerns. Battery expense shouldn't be a reason to avoid improving your quality of life with better hearing. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And in the funeral announcements, Robert Bob Ellis, age 90, of Stewart, died Sunday at the Stewart Community Care Center. A memorial service for Bob Ellis will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Dolores May Kaufman, age 84, of York, Nebraska, and formerly of Marnie, died Sunday in York. Funeral services for Dolores Kaufman will be today at 10 o'clock at the Red Line Church of Christ in Red Line. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Anthony Tony Weiss, age 49, of Denver, Colorado, died Saturday. A massive Christian burial service for Tony Weiss will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Leona Anderson, age 91, of Coon Rapids, died Wednesday at the Parkview Assisted Living Facility in Coon Rapids. Funeral services for Leona Anderson will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has the arrangements. Robert Wilkie, age 77, of Erling, died Tuesday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home in Erling. A massive Christian burial service for Robert Wilkie will be Saturday at 10:30 at St. Mary's of the Assumption Catholic Church in Panama. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Gail Francis Meyer, age 88, of Atlantic and formerly of Cumberland, died Tuesday at his home. Graveside services for Gail Meyer will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. John's Cemetery in Lyman. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Karen Katie Bolin, age 55, of Casey, died Wednesday at her home. Memorial services for Katie Bolin will be held Monday at 11 o'clock at the Friends Church in Stewart. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair has arrangements. James Swisher, age 51, of Harlan, died Tuesday at his home. Memorial services for James Swisher will be next Tuesday at 10:30 at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Mildred O'Neill, age 102, a former Atlantic resident, died August 26th in Hemet, California. A memorial mass for Mildred O'Neill will be next Friday at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Leola and Kirk Timmerman of Carroll have died. Graveside services for Leola and Kirk Timmerman will be on September 29th at 11 a.m. in the Manning Cemetery. Odie Twitt Funeral Home in Carroll has arrangements. And Viola Schwartz, age 98, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House. Private family services for Viola Schwartz will be held at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic is assisting the family with the arrangements. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.